2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, and today joining me on the Jazz Notes podcast, it's our new anchor here for KSL Sports. His name is Sam Farnsworth. But Sam here, he's a guy that's been around the block before. I've known Sam for a while. Yeah. Granted, I haven't talked to Sam in a while just because he's been over in Colorado Springs, and I think it's Grand Junction, too. You're over in Grand Junction working there. But you originally started working here at KSL quite a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2002. I started as a sports intern that fall. So it was after the Olympics, post-Olympics, still riding the Olympic high over here. But yeah, I came in that fall as a sports intern. When the internship ended, I didn't want it to end. I wanted to keep working here because I loved the experience I was getting. And they said, well, you got to get a job here if you want to keep helping us. And the job they had was running studio cameras. So I got that job. I ran the cameras during the news in between newscasts. I was over in that sports corner. And I did that for almost 4 years. After I graduated college, like you mentioned, I went to Grand Junction, then Colorado Springs. I've been in Colorado for 13 years now. Now I'm back.
Now you're back here in Utah. That's enough from you, Sam. We don't want to talk about you and your life because that's not what the Jazz Notes podcast is about. It's about the Utah Jazz and about me. No, it's really not about me. It's about the Utah Jazz. So we're really grateful to have Sam back. It's good to have him back. He'll be joining you on TV every night. He'll probably be writing for KSLSports.com. And the Jazz Notes podcast is powered by KSL Sports. So we wanted to bring Sam in. I know he's brand new. I know he's been over in Colorado, but he grew up here.
Yes.
He has probably followed the Utah Jazz for a long time. Things are going to be a change in here for the Utah Jazz. And especially last week, after what happened in the NBA draft lottery, where the Memphis Grizzlies, they're going to pick second in the draft. And they've already kind of signaled, hey, guess what? We're going to take Ja Morant. So now all the speculation is out there that Mike Conley is going to be on the trade block. And of course, we've heard reports that the Jazz may be interested in trading for Mike Conley. What do you think? I most people who've listened to the podcast know how I feel, and I'll give my feelings again. But I'm just curious, what do you think about the Jazz getting Mike Conley? I think that there are positives, some negatives out there too, but I'm curious what you think about Mike Conley coming to the Utah Jazz.
Well, I think, you know, clearly if they're going after Mike Conley, and maybe this is you know, old news for the Jazz fans that are really following. It means that they're letting Ricky Rubio run, you know, more likely than not. And maybe that's kind of a foregone conclusion. But at the same time, my thought is, okay, you want to bring in a point guard that can create offense, but that also you need a shooter. I think from my perspective, as I follow the Jazz this past season, they need someone who can Ricky Rubio wasn't as reliable when it came to, you know, pulling up, hitting a three, whatever. Mike Conley's he can shoot the three, but I think he's you know, high 30% for, you know, for his career in that range. So I like a guy who can not only create offense, you know, control, kind of dictate the offense, but you can rely on him to score the ball and shoot, especially. So I'm not sure if Mike Conley totally fits that role or not.
So what you're saying is the Jazz need to trade for Steph Curry. That should be a no-brainer, right?
Yes, exactly. Steph, get him in the house. Come on. No, but I mean, yeah, I like the veteran presence too. You know, you bring in someone who's obviously got a track record in the NBA, someone who you would think is well respected within the locker room. The Jazz locker room seems, I haven't been in there, but from all the post-game pressers and the interactions I see, it seems like the Jazz locker room's a pretty solid place. So you want to bring in someone that's going to add to that. And you know, I don't know what Mike Conley's history is there, but you want to make sure, you know, I think being a veteran in the NBA, there's a lot of respect that comes with that too.
I think on paper, I like the idea.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally.
I like the idea of having Mike Conley join the Utah Jazz because I'd like to see how they would function. But I guess I like the idea, but then I look at the reality of it and I see too many cons for adding Mike Conley. And it's not Mike Conley the player, unless I'm talking about age and injuries. Yes, I'm an ageism guy, and you know, I have paid attention to injuries too. But I guess I think the thing that bothers me the most is his contract.
Yeah.
Do you want to pay a 31-year-old guy $32.4 million, mm-hmm. and I think $34 million over the next two seasons to have him come in here? And the second question I have is that going to take you over the top? Does this make you at least on par or really close to beating the Warriors? And I'm going to say no. I still think you need someone beyond Mike Conley to be able to do that. And so I think that there are some positives there, but I just see too many cons. I don't think the Jazz should make this deal. If they do, again, we're going to see if the on paper part of it saying, hey, let's just see how this thing works out, that works. But you're going to have a lot fewer players you're going to be able to sign. You're going to have to say goodbye to Derek Favors, and that might be a possibility anyway if they have to go out and find a free agent. I just don't think it's a good idea for the Jazz to make this trade.
I agree with the money part of it 100%. I mean, if you're going to spend money, especially a Utah Jazz quote-unquote small market franchise, if you're going to spend money and spend a lot of money, you got to get the bang for your buck. And that much money for an older guy, you can get, I think you can get more mileage out of that much money elsewhere. And so I agree with you there. That's a lot of money, you know. If you're, I like the idea of throwing money at your current stars to keep them around, you know, Donovan and Rudy. But yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I don't think you get the return for that type of investment.
Yeah, if I'm thinking Mike Conley, I say make the trade if he's making what, $25 million or less. Then I'm like, yeah, I'd really like to see this. There is another component that I don't like about this. And maybe it's because I'm jaded about what I've seen in this series between the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. It was fun to see the Trailblazers. Yes, I'm going to say that, Jazz fans. It was fun to see the Trailblazers make it to the conference finals. But I was hoping, let me preface this. I was hoping that they would give the Warriors a run for their money, especially since they didn't have Kevin Durant. But I felt like the Warriors were still going to win it. And the Warriors came out and they blitzed two smaller guards, especially Damian Lillard, and that was disheartening. And I guess I just look at that and I can't think, if Donovan Mitchell is going to be your lead guard, that's what I will say. Maybe not your point guard if you don't want to call him that. Mm-hmm. He's 6'3", really 6'2", but 6'2", 6'3". You really need a guy that's going to be able to complement him who is taller than that. And that's not Mike Conley.
No.
Mike Conley's 6'1". So you're going to have a very short backcourt. And I just think that teams are going to take advantage of that size if you have Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell playing next to each other.
Yeah, and the blueprint's out there. We've seen it from the successful franchises. And you mentioned the two in the West, the most successful in the West this year, the Warriors and the Blazers. That's the blueprint. You got to have two ball scoring guards, and again, you can't have kind of two of the same. I like the idea of even if Donovan slides over to more of the point as a primary, but I like the idea of having two guards that can, either one of them can maybe bring the ball up, but you have to be able to shoot off the ball as well, you know, more of the catch and shoot, which I think you see a lot from obviously Klay Thompson, like guard. I think that's the blueprint of the NBA now. You got to have two good scoring shooting guards.
Now, speaking of guards, there are going to be a couple.
Yeah.
A couple, I'm just joking. There'll be plenty of them coming up in free agency. Deseret News' Ryan McDonald, he listed a few, and we've talked about it. Last week we talked about it on the podcast about some guys that the Jazz can sign. I'm just going to run through them really quickly. Off the top of your head, I'm not going to say will they. Can the Jazz sign one of these guys? First of all, can the Jazz sign Malcolm Brogdon?
I think so. I guess my thought is, and I know I'm making a longer answer, but my thought always is, do they want to come to Utah? You know, and that's always kind of been one of the stigmas with Utah. Is this a place where people want to play? I believe Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, some of these stars on the team now have helped maybe tear down some of those preconceived notions in the NBA that Utah's not a place you want to go to, especially Donovan. I mean, he's really embraced this place as his home. You know, people know that. So I always wonder, does he want to play here? I mean, you look at what the team is, if that team is located anywhere else, I think Malcolm Brogdon looks at the Utah Jazz and like, that's a good fit for me. That'd be a good spot for me to go. Quinn Snyder's a good coach. I think it would be a good fit for him and the Utah Jazz. So I just wonder what's going on in his head, if that's a place he would want to be. If it is, I think it could happen.
I think it could happen. I think that maybe the Bucks, just because of their success, and that leads to the next guy, which would be Chris Middleton, and I'll lead off with that one and kind of tie in both guys here, and we talked about this next week. I think that Chris Middleton is going to stay. I think he's going to like the success. I think the Bucks are going to make the NBA Finals, and I think he's going to say, I'm going to stick around because they're going to give me a bunch of money, and I'm playing next to Giannis Antetokounmpo, so why would I not want to stay here?
Right.
I think that Malcolm Brogdon may be the guy that's a little bit left out just because they're doling out so much money to so many guys, and they might have to say, he's a restricted free agent, by the way, yeah, we like you, but we can't sign you for that much. Now, maybe he takes less, and maybe he decides to stay there, but I think that's a guy the Jazz could sign. I don't think Chris Middleton will come just because I think he sticks around Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, he can get the max contract from Milwaukee too, right? So, and that's obviously you can't match that. So, and you mentioned all the points of why he would want to stay. It's a great team in the East. He's got great superstar teammates. It's a good situation for him.
Next would be Klay Thompson. Can the Jazz sign Klay Thompson? I'll let you answer first. I think it might be a short answer, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, first of all, it's just way too much money. And he's already going to get paid a boatload from Golden State, too. It seems like they don't care about paying the taxes of going over, so it seems like that's a foregone conclusion there. Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
No, I agree. I think especially after this series that you watched with the Blazers without Kevin Durant, I think you see how valuable Klay is to this team.
Right.
Yeah, maybe he's your Robin to Steph Curry's Batman, if you want to use that analogy. I've heard some of that used around a lot. But if you want to say that's fine. But I just don't think he leaves. I think he's happy there. He's won three championships. I think he's going to win a fourth championship. Yep. Why does he want to leave? And they're going to give him a bunch of money, too. Next on the list, Kemba Walker. What about Kemba Walker?
That's an interesting one. I I've given it some thought over a few weeks. I've heard other people bring up his name with potentially fitting with the Utah Jazz, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have a hard time seeing how he would fit together with Donovan. And again, we've seen dual star, dual guard star, whatever. You know what I'm getting at.
I know what you're talking about.
The backcourt. We've seen it work other places. Kemba and Donovan, can they play together? Can they play off each other? I would be interested to see how that works. I think it could happen, but I guess I just have too many questions. And again, I'm getting reacquainted here with my Jazz.
No, I understand. Yeah. I guess I go back to, and yes, I'm going to use heightism now. I've already used ageism.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to discriminate against height.
Good point.
I think if you're going to have a Kemba Walker, you need to have a guy next to him who is going to be taller, like 6'6" or 6'7". And I'm going to say that about Donovan Mitchell, too. Mm-hmm. I think that you need to have a guy that's at least 6'5", 6'6", that's going to play next to him. He doesn't necessarily have to be a point guard. Listen, I'll go back to Malcolm Brogdon, really. Quickly, I watched very intently this past game when Toronto played Milwaukee to see how he was playing, because he missed the first part of the playoffs because of an injury. So I wanted to see how he played. He's not the most dynamic guy in the world. In fact, there were a couple times I thought he could have taken a shot in overtime or late in the game against Toronto, in overtime and double overtime, but he didn't do it. He deferred to teammates quite a bit. He's not the most explosive guy, but he doesn't look like a dummy either. He's pretty smart. He wants to win also. And he actually took a couple of chances that I was surprised and was able to score and do some good things to keep his team in the game. No, he wasn't taking the final shot because I think he knows his place with this team, but I think he could be a good guy there. So I think that he would be a better match for Donovan if I'm going to go rather than Kemba, just because Kemba's like my height, and I'm a shorty, so he's actually taller than me. But I'm just giving you an example there.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the number one question you have to ask when you're talking about signing a free agent point guard this offseason is it's all around Donovan. How is he going to fit with Donovan? Does he complement him? Is it going to be? I think that's the question you have to ask as the Utah Jazz, because it's Donovan. That's the guy you got to build around here.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No, very much so. Another guy, real quickly, D'Angelo Russell, Brooklyn Nets. I'll start out on this one. Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to talk about his game at all. You can talk about his game all you want. Let's just say this. He was busted for marijuana possession recently. I know it's legal in many parts of this country now, but he was busted recently at the airport for marijuana possession. We know what happened when he was with the Lakers.
Exactly.
I don't think he's a Jazz guy.
No.
So I don't think the Jazz touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
I think he stays in Brooklyn or goes somewhere else. I don't think the Jazz even look at D'Angelo Russell at all.
Totally agree. And that's the first thing that came to my mind, too, when you brought up his name, was not his game, but his personality, attitude, what he could or potentially would do to a Utah Jazz locker room. Yeah, you don't want to bring that in.
Now I'm going to go off, and this is the guy off the guard line, I should say, and this mm-hmm. is the guy I think that a lot of Jazz fans would like and think that maybe they can get, and that's Tobias Harris.
Yes,
he's a free agent,
right?
But he was traded in the middle of the season from the Clippers to the Sixers. He didn't play as well with the Sixers. He was really the sometimes fourth option with the Sixers. Can the Jazz sign Tobias Harris this offseason?
And I think, again, yes, I think this is a guy that could come here and that the Jazz could sign. I think clearly he only comes, maybe I shouldn't say clearly, but in my mind, in my mental universe, he only comes if again, they're saying goodbye to Derek Favors. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's kind of where, I think that's probably one of the key factors that comes into consideration whether they bring him over or not. But I think he could be a great fit in Utah with the way their offense is running. He's a guy that can spread the floor open a little bit more with the offense too. So
I think it would be interesting to see him. Maybe I'm going back to, I think it would be great on paper to see how he would fit with the Jazz.
Yeah.
I actually don't think he's going to come. I think the Jazz could sign him. I think the Sixers are going to re-sign him. I know it's going to sound wacky, but I think that the Sixers are going to say, we invested way too much to get you.
Right.
We want to keep you. Maybe he gives them even a hometown discount. But I think that they would rather see J.J. Redick leave than see Tobias mm-hmm. Harris leave, just because, again, I think that they have invested too much and they're going to try all that they can to keep he and Jimmy Butler. I thought at the end of the regular season it would be Jimmy Butler. Then I thought maybe Tobias Harris would leave. Now I'm thinking, and I have no knowledge of this. This is just me guessing.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try all, in any way possible, I should say, to try and keep both of those guys and maybe add another piece. The problem that they're going to have is if they are able to sign both those guys, everyone else they sign from here on out is going to have to be a really good role player, because I don't know how the Sixers go from here. So I think, could he sign with the Jazz? Yeah, but I don't think he signs with the Jazz. I actually think he stays with the Sixers.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right. What about one more guy? I'm going to go back to the guards.
Yeah, yeah.
We just got done watching the Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Rodney Hood, former Jazz man.
Yeah.
Could the Jazz, or maybe I say, should the Jazz in this instance re-sign Rodney Hood after trading him away, what was it, a season and a half ago to the Cleveland Cavaliers? He's gone from the Cavaliers, had some issues there in the finals, went to the Trailblazers, actually played pretty good for the Blazers after playing for the Cavs. Should the Jazz even sniff around? Could they? Should they? What do you think, Sam?
I mean, it's not going to hurt to maybe explore it. I don't know if it's hard to bring him back. I liked his game. I liked his game when he was in Utah. I thought it was at times a little consistent, but that might have been a product of the strategy on any given night and the approach that, you know, the coach had with Rodney Hood. You saw him in this playoff series. It's kind of funny to hear the announcers being like, oh, Rodney Hood, where is this guy coming from? Suddenly he's one of the heroes of the Blazers. And I'm like, well, that's his game. That's exactly what he is right there. He's a guy that can come in and pop for 15, 20 points any given night. Is that what the Jazz need? I mean, I would like to see some of these other guys that we discussed before Rodney Hood coming back to Utah. But he could maybe, if there's a spot for him to come off the bench, hey, I think you might want to look into it.
I think you hit the key right there. It's not like the Jazz are going to go out and sign him on day one of free agency.
Yeah.
I think they see who else is out there. But I don't think you should discount it either.
No.
I'm not saying that he should be your number one guy, number two guy, number three. I don't know where he fits along the line. But the one thing you got is you know what you're getting. There's familiarity there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what kind of a guard you're going to get. Yes, he's going to be a little streaky at times. But the one thing I like about him, and again, heightism, all this. Whatever.
Yeah,
heightism.
He's got
that's not even
size.
A word.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's 6'8". He can get his shot off.
Yeah.
That's what I like about him. And he can create for himself. Not so much create for other people. That's probably one of the negative parts about him. But he can create for himself. And the Jazz are in bad need of guys that can create for themselves. It'd be nice if he could do a little of both. And I think if he came back here, I think you could fold him back into the system, and he would be better served by leaving and coming back and almost kind of saying, maybe I didn't know what I was missing when I left here. Right. But again, I agree with you. I'm not sure he's number one on the list or two, or maybe he's number 10 or 15 or something like that. But I wouldn't discount going back to him. Maybe he's not your starter, but he's kind of been used to now coming off the bench now.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned, the Jazz are familiar with what he brings. He's also familiar with what it's like to play for the Jazz and in this community. Again, I mentioned at the beginning, some people are a little shy away from that sometimes. He's familiar with it. He understands it. And I would imagine that he probably enjoys it. Heightism, I like that. Last night, Jeff Van Gundy used the word verticality.
Way better than heightism.
I had to look that up. I don't even know if that was the right word either. But
Yeah. That's the great thing about the Jazz Notes podcast. You can have your phone go off and it doesn't matter. And the second thing is you can come and make up words and just throw them out on the podcast and sound like a complete idiot. If you want to hear about the love letters to Ricky Rubio, by the way, the guys on Unrivaled, they sent their love letters because Ricky kind of said, it's not looking, I don't know what's going to happen, but it doesn't look like I can play for him. He said that depending on what happens with Kyrie, he wouldn't mind going and playing or at least intimating playing for the Celtics would be a good thing. What do you think? I think that would be a good signing because I think there are enough good shooters on that team, depending on what happens with Kyrie and if anything happens with Anthony Davis. I think if they keep their team pretty much intact, I think Ricky would actually be a very good point guard for that team because he could pass it around to a bunch of guys who would be very willing to shoot. He'd be very willing to pass to him.
He's a facilitator, and that would be a good fit for him. I liked him here in Utah, but again, I just don't see... I don't see a future with him. I don't know if that works. So.
No. He was handsome, though. Okay, we don't need to get into that right now. Coming up on the Jazz Notes podcast here in the near future, I don't know. I think it's going to be either later this week or maybe next week. I'm doing some draft previews of guys that could be picked around number 23 in the draft. I've already done a couple interviews. Talked to John Hale with Courier Journal in Lexington, Kentucky about Keldon Johnson and Tyler Hero. Yes, I wanted to throw Hero in there some way, and maybe I still will. A couple of guards out of Kentucky. And then I talked to Kendra Andrews. She works for The Athletic about Brandon Clark, who played for Gonzaga. A lot of mock drafts say he's probably not going to last that long. At first, I think a lot of people thought he would slide to number 23. He's probably not going to last that long now. NBA playoffs going on right now, Sam. Yeah. It's a little disheartening to see the Blazers. I know that they weren't at full strength, but the second best or best player on the planet was not playing for the Warriors, whatever you want to say, and the Warriors still swept the Blazers. Is it a little disheartening to see that go down that way?
No, it is. I expected more, and maybe I'm drinking a little bit of the Dame Lillard Kool-Aid, but I mean, he is a phenomenal basketball player, and with the way he had been playing in the playoffs, I fully expected the Blazers. I didn't expect them to win the series at all. I thought they'd, do a little better job at defending their home floor, maybe winning both of them. It was a little disheartening, a little disappointing for a sweep there. Hopefully the finals is better.
I guess the one thing I would have to say is I was disappointed that the Blazers in three of those games built big leads and then gave it all back in the third quarter in each game. It's like, hey, guys, wake up. Hello. In game three, I'm sitting there watching and thinking, do you have any urgency at all? I mean, the Warriors are just blitzing you right now. Isn't there something you can do different? And they just did not have an answer.
It was a complete repeat last night.
Milwaukee or Toronto, can either of those teams beat the Warriors, Sam?
I would like to see Milwaukee get a shot. Okay. I don't know if they can beat him, but I want to see him get a shot.
Yeah, I think that's the one that... Well, it's just fun watching Giannis play, by the way. He's a lot of... I don't know, I kind of want to see... I wouldn't mind seeing Kawhi get back in either.
Yeah.
Just because of what happened when the Spurs played the Warriors a few years ago.
A little more drama.
Yeah, maybe. Nah, I think I want to see the Bucks get in the finals.
Does the Bucks playing in the finals drive up the price for guys potentially like Brogdon, though? The further they go, does that drive up the price on the market, too? I don't know if that's something I should necessarily think about, but it always crosses my mind in sports that the further a team goes, those players that are entering a contract situation, generally that price goes up, whether it merits it or not.
Yeah, and like we talked about, Malcolm Brogdon, he is a restricted free agent.
Right.
I mean, the Jazz may say, okay, here's the figure we want to sign him at. Mm-hmm. And maybe another team comes in and said, no, we'll throw an extra $5 million or $10 million at him. And the Jazz are like, never mind, we don't want him. So, yeah, that's a good point. Look at that. Sam bringing knowledge. Sam, where can we find you on Twitter?
At SamFarnsworth11. That's my current Twitter handle.
Is it going to change
that? I don't know yet. But that's what it is, and that's where it's staying for now. So okay. You'll find me there.
Okay. Yep. The number 11 because, I don't know.
The 10 other Sam Farnsworths got on before me.
Yeah, is that what it is?
No, no. My previous station was 11.
I was going to say, I thought it was something else, but just go with that. Yeah, there are 10 other Sam Farnsworths. This is the only one I can find. That's Sam Farnsworth. He works for KSL Sports. I'm Cleon Wall. Thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes Podcast. We appreciate you downloading, listening, subscribing to the Jazz Notes Podcast. You can find us on KSLSports.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and also on the KSL News Radio app. We'll talk to you soon.